broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendricks.
Hello, Phil Hendricks Show here, and we're already into Tuesday, so that's kind of cool. So Monday's over, Tuesday's here, and officially Tuesday here on the West Coast, but I know on the East Coast you guys have been well into your Tuesday for a while, and we're here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Every night, the world-famous Phil Hendricks Show. We're at 877-876-PHIL, and we're also online at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can access over a decade's worth of audio, as well as our nightly video casts. We have a video archive. We have a five-day video archive. We also have a year's worth of video casts from our Saturday night show. Lots of stuff. I mean, it's all about the media. It's all about the audio, and it's all about, in some cases, our video casts at philhendryshow.com. Within a few short weeks, we are going to be fully functional for all Apple products, that is the iPad and the iPhone. So our on-demand media, whether it is audio or video, you'll be able to access on your mobile device, your iPhone or on your iPad, whatever it is you're using, your Apple product. We're very happy to report that to you. And we've got some other exciting stuff that we'll be talking about as we move forward. Robert Leonard is with us here. Bud Dickman in our News and Information Hour. Did you guys have a good weekend?
Yeah, I had a pretty good weekend. Yeah, it was pretty good, except for the fact that didn't do anything other than just sat and drank, you know, beer and everything.
Sat around and drank beer, huh? That's more than I do. So
yeah, come over sometime.
I wouldn't mind coming over to your house to drink beer, Bud. Picking my way across the living room to a seat, you know.
Why'd you clean that place up, man? You know how much you just get a cleaning person to clean up?
Why don't you do it?
What?
Clean your own house up, man.
Why, you got a cleaning person?
I got a cleaning person, yeah. Apparently I can afford it. You can't?
Well, not really.
Okay, well then why don't you clean your own house up?
Yeah, you can clean up your own house. And that way you can sit and find a place sitting on the little garbage. Well, yeah, but your aunt does that.
Well, then you got to do it, man. You can't afford it. You don't have an aunt doing it for you. You got to do it.
You know, where am I going to start with that, man? It's got to be at least 2 years of garbage.
Wow, man.
Man, clean that place up, man. Yeah, but where did I start?
I got a great idea. Here's how you start. Get a hefty bag, walk in there with that bag, fill it up, then take it out and set it on the curb next, and keep on doing that until there's no garbage.
Now, that's easy for you to say.
God, Bud, we're going to have to find a... I'm going to have to come over there and take a look. Maybe I can give you a hand. Maybe we'll just get a front-end loader or a Bobcat or something and just go in there and... Maybe we ought to just destroy the house.
There's an idea.
Yeah. All right, here we have this news story. Very interesting and also weird. There's got to be more to it than this. Check this out. Three teachers supervising a field trip were aware that an eighth-grade student was about to eat moose poop and did nothing to stop it, according to a Canadian school official. Thank God this was in Canada. Not that, you know, I wish any ill on Canada. I just like a little bit of the stupid news to come from someplace else for a change. The girl did so, reportedly getting it stuck in her braces and vomiting, according to Canada's Winnipeg Free Press. At least one other boy ate the droppings as well. You're hearing this, folks. This happened. Both teens had been told the poop was chocolate-covered almonds. Sounds like a really good joke if you're a mental deficient. If you are stuck at the age of six with your sense of humor. If, in other words, you're just an idiot. It sounds like a pretty good joke. But for 99.999% of the human race, it's only an indication of some serious personality disorder. Let's find out just exactly what it is, if in fact the Canadians figured it out. Scott Zwaninska, superintendent of the Lord Selkirk School District in Manitoba.
That sounds pretty high class. I wouldn't be saying A on no class.
Well, it doesn't make any difference what it's called, man.
Why do you think it's high class?
Because it's called Lord Selkirk and everything.
So? So what, man? What, you don't think they can pull off something like having a kid eat moose poop because the place is called Lord Selkirk?
I'm just saying it's high class down there.
Don't make any difference, man. They might be the lowest class people living there.
Then why do they call it Lord Kirk or whatever it's called?
Lord Selkirk. It was named after some guy that was a lord, man. Doesn't necessarily mean that they name a place after a lord. The people that are going to move there are going to be high class. They named it after the guy because I guess he was some kind of a special guy, you know.
What'd he do?
I don't know what he did.
You gotta determine that before you do the story.
What are you talking about, Matt? What does it don't make no difference?
Yeah, talk much.
Hey, come on. Bud, you know something? You start stuff for the stupidest reasons, man.
What?
No, it's called Lord Selkirk. There must be high-class people. Maybe you got the story wrong.
Just thinking. I'm just trying to think outside of a box.
Yeah, think outside of a box? How about outside the box? Good point.
What's the difference?
One is the box that we all know about. The other, a box. Who knows what ball game you're playing in, man? Anyway,
I don't get it.
Fine. Just let me finish the story here. Scott Kwasniewska, whatever the hell this guy's name is, superintendent of the Lord Selkirk School Division in Manitoba, Canada, said a parent chaperoning the canoe trip offered the students the droppings as a joke. A parent. Well, right there, what does that tell you? Oh, my God. What kind of a moron? I can certainly confirm that a parent supervisor offered these moose droppings in the guise of a very poorly conceived joke. Karen Iofson, whose 13-year-old son was one of the students who ate the poop, said the student offered the parent offered the almonds from a sandwich baggie. Isn't that funny? He dug into a bag and popped one into his mouth. Eiffelson told CBC, as soon as it hit his mouth, somebody tells him, you just ate moose crap. And the whole group of people started laughing. I mean, I can indulge in the obvious stereotype that this is some rural section of Manitoba, Canada, which just about it most likely wins the prize for dumb. I mean, you think that the South, you think the American South, Canadians often look down their nose at the American South because it's to them it's very stereotypically American. But I can tell you, in my dealings in life, there ain't nothing quite life that quite like the dumb you get from the good, wide-open wheat fields of Manitoba.
Yeah, I don't imagine that, man. Well, what do you mean? A lot of farmers and stuff?
It does got nothing to do with farmers. It's just the dumb that you get from the good old, wide-open wheat fields, man. Look, it stands to reason. What do the people up there do? When they're not bringing in the wheat, they're beating each other's brains in with hockey sticks. They're losing teeth. What? Look at them, man. They're walking around, no teeth. They got like a scar across their face from taking a hockey stick across it. Some guy raked a skate across the other half of his face. And a guy looks like Frankenstein with the brains to match.
Frankenstein wasn't dumb.
He wasn't, huh? Wasn't he the guy that lit his thumb in Young Frankenstein?
That's not the real Frankenstein. That was a joke one.
Oh, okay. That was a joke Frankenstein. So the real Frankenstein did what?
Real Frankenstein smoked a cigar. Yeah, and ate soup and everything.
Well, he must be a brain surgeon then. In any event, he dug into this bag, and then everybody starts laughing when this little kid eats this moose poop. When the little boy ran to wash out his mouth, a 13-year-old female classmate who didn't witness the incident was tricked into doing the same thing. So this brain surgeon adult didn't do it once, they did it twice. Two children! By that point, all three teachers were aware of what was happening but didn't intervene, according to Kwasniewska. He didn't identify the teachers by name or title, but Eiffelson said one was actually the school principal. There's got to be something we're missing in this story. Both students received medical attention to be treated for possible bacterial infection. God, no kidding, man. How about some tetanus shots? How about some polio vaccine? How, you know, anything you got. Kwasniewska wouldn't discuss what disciplinary action was handed down to the teachers involved, but said it all were at school Wednesday and have not been fired. The man behind the prank was not the parent of a student on the trip and will not be volunteering for the school again. That just blows me away, man. Just blows me away, you know. There's no way that guy wouldn't get a visit from me. I know what you're saying. Oh, it's easy to say. If that's your child, there's no way the guy's not going to get a visit from me. And the parents of those kids that ate that moose crap, that's real funny. You know, they're going to go pay a visit to that guy. I wouldn't blame them.
Maybe it's just some dumbass.
Some dumbass? Well, that goes without saying. Who the hell are these parent chaperones anyway, man? I'll bet you anything. This is my analysis of this. This father,
whoever he is, was raised in such a rural backwoods, not that rural and backwoods is dumb, but let's say rural backwoods and, oh yeah, also stupid environment, that eating moose crap was sort of funny, but it wasn't considered to be abusive, you know? And that maybe it was like a cute little prank you'd try on the kids to teach them not to eat moose crap, maybe.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe the kids, when that guy grew up, they was eating moose crap all the time.
Yeah, they might have thought it was a baby roof. How many times you eat a baby roof and then go, oh, man, I ate a turd?
I've never done that.
You've never done that?
No, I've never eaten a baby roof and said, oh, man, I just ate a turd. Never. You know what the tip-off was?
What?
It tasted like a candy bar.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah, but still, it still didn't fake you out?
No, it didn't fake me out, you morons. How many times did I eat a baby Ruth?
But what about if they melted or something?
No, get out of here. I knew it wasn't a turd because it tasted like a candy bar.
Yeah, but isn't there a split second you go, oh, no, I ate a turd?
No, there's never been a split second. Never, ever. Never. Baby Ruth looks like a baby Ruth. A turd, well, it looks like a turd. Wow. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Here's a lady in South Florida. Where else? I believe it's South Florida, who wants to have the largest breasts in the world. She wants to have triple M. She's a mother. She's got like four kids. She wants to have the world record. She wants to be in the top, not the world record, she wants to be in the top five big-breasted models in the world. We'll talk about that, because it's about breasts, and it's about large breasts, so how can you ignore it? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Of Lacey Wilde. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you are a kind of rock and roll chick, or you're sort of a rock and roll slash adult actress kind of a chick, the best last name to have is Wilde with two D's.
Hey. Yeah, there are a lot of them call that.
Well, some of them got the name Liz Wilde. We know Liz. She's a great radio talent in Florida. That's a good name for Liz. Some women who take that, and take it, I don't mean born with it, but take that name, you know, give it up, all right? Like in the case of this mother, she's the mother of I don't know how many children, four, five kids. Her name is Lacey Wilde, and I got money that says that ain't her real name because there's two D's.
How do you usually spell it?
With one D.
Yeah, don't you even know that? Well, yeah, but it's also E too, right?
No, it ain't E.
Ah, ha, ha, you're just as dumb as me.
Well, we know that. W-I-L-D is how Wilde is spelled. Yes, the name is spelled sometimes with an E. Sometimes it's spelled without an E. It is a family name. I believe it's an old English name, but beside the point. Anyway, Lacey Wilde shows off her mammoth chest as she poses with her daughter, Tori, 17, in one of the pictures I thought we would have for you. I'll try to pull it up here on Phil TV in HD. This woman's chest is, it's triple M. But in point of fact, when I saw the photograph,
It was big.
Yeah, it was big. I was going to say it wasn't completely abnormal looking, but then what? I don't really know what that looks like anymore. However, Lacey Wilde, 44, has already had 12 breast enlargements, and her offspring, aged 5 to 27, are embarrassed by her top-heavy figure and want her to stop risking her health. However, the glamour model, real name Paula Simmons, actually you got a perfectly fine real name there, Paula, is determined to go under the knife once again. She said, if I have triple M implants, it will take me into the top five big-breasted models in the world. It will increase my fame and earning power considerably. I want to give my kids a good lifestyle because the triple M's ain't done it yet.
Yeah, man, how big they gotta be?
Your triple M's ain't giving your kids too much of a lifestyle right now. I mean, maybe it's just the fact that maybe the overall package is looking kind of, I don't know, oxen-like.
Dude, see, she looks like an ox?
I don't know, man. I mean, maybe, you know, she's got, they're big enough, ain't they? How big do they got to be? But she can't get a good lifestyle for her kids.
What do you do when you got big boobs? three guesses.
Well, I mean, besides, how much money are they going to pay?
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know anything about that. Although, let's face it, you know, must be some kind of bread involved in that. I mean, having large breasts is important to an extent. Although I will tell you this much: the fake breast, the enhanced breast, it's losing steam a little bit.
What are you talking about? Everybody knows big boobs is good.
Oh, is that right, bud? Well, let me tell you something: big quote boobs may be good, but the enhanced boob—that's what I'm talking about.
You talking about like plastic surgery?
Yeah, he's talking about what are implants.
Yes, thank you. Boy, it took you guys long enough to get around to that one. Yes. The fact is, guys are not responding. Magazine buyers, magazine purchasers, whatever, the big enhanced boob just ain't getting it done. It's not exactly the draw that it was. I'm not saying that it doesn't still, you know, sell magazines, pictures, adult films, whatever, but it's losing a little steam. Anyway, that doesn't deter Lacey, or should I say Paula. She says her children are aged 27. That's Ivy. Silas is 24. Tori 16. Michael 15. Brandon 10. And Genevieve is 5. They don't agree. They worry bigger implants will cause an infection that might kill her. Tori said, I don't want my mom to have her boobs made any bigger. I think she isn't really thinking about our opinions. What if she dies? Is she taking that into consideration, said these children. Now, these kids are, of course, underage, so you can't talk to them without the permission of the mom. And maybe mom is saying, you know, that's good. The kids are entitled to their opinion. Let's have it out. Let's hear it out. Let's see what they've got to say, and I'll still do what I want to do. Anyway, one of the kids said, does she really care that her kids could be left alone? Cosmetic surgeon Dr. Alberto Garani agrees and warned Miss Wilde that she may be suffering from a syndrome called body dysmorphic disorder. It would be too dangerous for her to undergo more surgery. I would advise she reconsider and seek help for her surgery obsession. That's what that is.
What's that mean, though?
What?
The body morphic.
Body dysmorphic syndrome, disorder, rather, is a disorder where you're not seeing yourself realistically, you know?
Like anorexia.
It's like anorexia in a way, yeah. There's a sort of, there's a view you have where you don't look the way you, to yourself, the way you really do. It's not like you're hallucinating. It's kind of like a delusional thing. Girls that have anorexia, actually, this happens to girls with young women or women with anorexia. They're skinny as hell. They don't see that. They see a woman that is probably, you know, verging on fat. And if they're to even eat an olive, they would immediately see some body change. They might even see the olive sitting in their stomach.
What?
I mean, what I'm saying is they don't see inside their stomach, but they sort of see a little bulge where the olive would be. It's not a hallucination. It's a delusional thing. It's something, I don't know how to describe it. I just, you know, it's like being able to fixate on a part of your body for a while and then seeing something, you know, making yourself believe that what's there is something else. I don't know.
Like maybe if you do that with the size of your penis.
Possibly. What are you trying to... Shut up.
I'm just kidding.
Right. So, anyway, but this doctor is a very responsible guy, and I think that this is the guy to listen to. He says, you know, before you go through any of the surgery, you know, get a grip here, lady. I mean, everybody else has been getting a grip.
Yeah, no kidding.
Shut up, will you?
It's funny.
God, man.
What's that all about? I was just laughing.
No, you weren't laughing. You were drawing attention to yourself.
How? Well.
God. All right, so anyway, to make a long story short, or make a long story longer, the former Las Vegas showgirl, though, she doesn't care what Dr. Gallerani says. Pound it, Doc. She's from Hollywood, Florida, and she is defiant, and she wants to add a 13th breast operation to her list, which also includes 2 tummy tucks, 4 full-body liposuctions, abdominal sculpting, bottom implants, and 2 bottom lifts.
Butt lift?
Yes, butt lifts. She said, I'm more determined than ever to have this surgery and make my dreams a reality, to help my kids have a great life. Even though my children are scared to death, I'm going to die.
All right, Lacey, we wish you the best, but, I mean, seriously, you know, it's like a mental illness or something. And then, of course, I want to meet the plastic surgeon that's going to do the operation. You just heard one doctor say that there could be a dysfunctional thing going on there. You know that the children are worried. Is there a plastic surgeon with the lack of ethics to do the surgery? 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you.
Yeah. Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back. You're the world famous Phil Henry Show. We just were looking online, and we were showing to our viewers on Phil TV and HD this Lacey Wilds and the breasts that she's got. The breasts she has right now look to be, you know, she's, how do I put this? And I mean this kindly. I actually mean this as a compliment. She's got the body of a nice body of a 44-year-old woman, which is essentially this. It's a woman's body. It's a beautiful body. It's not skinny. But she's, you know, she's not some skinny runway model. She's a woman, and she's got these big breasts. Okay. I don't know how much bigger she needs them to be.
What about that other lady?
If those breasts, they've got some women on these pictures. The breasts are so big, they look like freaks, man. Is that what you want to look like? You want to look like some freak? So they're really huge, whatever. I mean, they probably feel like basketballs. I mean, with fully inflated basketballs. You know, in other words, there's not any suppleness, nothing, not soft at all, just these big freak breasts. And so you walk around looking like a freak of nature. And maybe there's some guys, I'd say any guy that finds that attractive, there's something wrong with him. I'm telling you right now.
Well, you can't say that, man. You already said you're an ass man.
Wait, hold on for a minute. That's got nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, you don't understand what it is to like the big boob.
Wait a minute. Just because I'm a ass man, as you put it, that's got nothing to do with it, man. Even if a chick had an oversized ass or something, like it was abnormally big, you know, like through surgery or even through what I think is the case with a lot of these pictures, some photographic effect or photoshopping. That's not attractive either. You want a woman to look like a woman, for God's sake. You don't want to look like she comes from Mars. You know? Some of these chicks, man, they got all this plastic surgery. They got a nose that looks like it comes, it might as well be a nose on the face of some alien. They got breasts that make them look like they're a circus freak. They got a waist that's so small they look like a circus freak. The whole thing comes off very unattractive. It's ugly. It's scary looking.
So you'd say no to a woman like that?
Yeah, I'd say no to a woman like that. Of course, I haven't never met one.
Yeah, see, you might say yes.
Well, yes to what?
But I have sex.
No, man, no. No, I wouldn't. Why? Oh, hell, I don't know.
Yeah, see?
All right, well, at least I'm being honest, okay? But I'm telling you right now, looking at them the way they are with the photographs, forget it. Forget it. All right, so speaking of, formerly big and maybe getting bigger, but not in my case, this is now, so it's got nothing really to do with what we were saying, but I'm trying to tie it in. Okay, here it is. We're talking about someone who is big but wants to get bigger. We're talking now, let's shift gears, to talk about a guy that was big but is getting smaller, and that's me.
Yay!
Thank you. So I got on the scale. As I told you guys, when I got back from Florida, before I left for Florida, I was 253 pounds. That was the first week in June. I went to Florida. I was 253. Let's start out. I was at 289 March 19th. That's when I started my diet. My 2,000 calories a day, come hell or high water, don't ever go over. Never, ever, 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 never. If you go over, you got to go out and work the calories off. Diet. On March 19th, I was 289 pounds. I just had a doctor's appointment last week, and the doc said to me, you're actually 291, Phil. I said, okay, you're the doctor. I thought I was 289. And I went to Florida early this month, and I was at 253. So that's a pretty good, that's a nice weight loss. That is 30, when I went to Florida, I'd lost 36 pounds at the beginning of June. Now, went to Florida, and I said, you know, I'm down here. I'm away from home. What the hell? There's great seafood. There's good restaurants. I'm not going to sit here and what am I going to do? Eat rabbit food and everybody else is having a nice steak or whatever? It ain't going to happen, man. So I, you know, I dug into some nice seafood, the seafood combo, you know.
But the guy in Mexico said seafood combo.
Yeah, that was a guy on the beach in Mexico.
Is that what he said?
He was a guy in Mexico. He's going, seafood combo.
It was funny the first time you told it.
Well, I'm sorry it ain't funny this time. So anyway, so I had a nice time, and I decided, knowing that the metabolism of your body, sometimes you need to shake it up. You can slow your metabolism down when you're dieting. Your metabolism slows down because the body begins to retain that fat. The body doesn't know why all this weight is being lost. It's assuming that it needs to retain some energy, some fat, because perhaps there's a famine going on. Perhaps there's some illness that's robbing the body. And so your metabolism does slow down to retain this. So sometimes you need to shake it up again. So that was my thinking. And I went to Florida and came home.
But you weighed when you came home.
I didn't weigh myself. Now, that's what you see. Now, just hold on. I didn't weigh myself. I knew that if I weighed myself, I'd get depressed because I might have put on some weight. I didn't want to look at the scales at all until last week. And so I got back on my diet, and last week was whatever the hell it was, the 18th, something like that. Got on the scale, and sure enough, I had not gained any weight, but I hadn't lost any. So I was still around 252, 253. That told me one thing. I must have gained some weight when I was in Florida, you know?
Yeah, man, you must have gained a lot of weight in Florida.
I don't know. This week, however, I'm very happy to report, having gotten off the scale this week, 247.
That's 6 pounds from last week?
Well, I mean, no, not necessarily, because here's what I'm thinking. It depends when you weigh yourself, and if you don't weigh yourself the same time all the time, if the body is not in the relatively the same condition, then there's going to be some fluctuations. I don't think I was necessarily 253 last week. I might have been maybe 250, but who knows, you know. There might have been some water in my system, water retention.
Maybe I need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, sure. Whatever that was.
Yeah, I'm probably carrying around about 3 pounds.
Would you shut up? So in any event...
That'd help.
Yeah. So in any event, got on a scale, 247. So I'll take that, man. So we're almost at the end of the month here. And let's just call 247 the weight. I started this diet on March the 19th at 289. Let's call it 289. So April, May, June. 3 months from 289 to 247 is 42 pounds. And that's roughly three goes into the thing of 14 set to two. What is that, man?
About 13 pounds. Three times three is nine, three to one. About 13, 14 pounds.
About 13 and a half, 13 and a third pounds per month. Not bad. As a matter of fact, it's almost like I was on a 15-pound-a-month schedule, and I think maybe going back to Florida and kind of blowing out the diet a little bit. But that's pretty good. And we're back on track, you know, where we ought to be. And my hope is, and as I told you guys this when I first started this thing, my hope is that by my birthday, and I don't necessarily think I'm going to make it, but that's the goal, by my birthday, which is September the 1st, I'm down to my weight, the weight that I was normally at in my 20s, which is like 200 pounds, 210, you know.
Well, when you're 20, you said you was 190.
Yeah, when I was in my early 20s. Well, God, there was one point there where I lost so much weight when I was working. I was music director down in Miami. I was 145 pounds, 6 foot, man. Can you imagine how skinny that is? And that was a long time ago, but if I can get it down to 210, I will be a happy man. And I don't know.
Well, you're going to figure out 13 more pounds next month, 47, hold on, about 33, 34, then another.
Yeah, wait, here's the calculator.
Don't get it in my face. How many times am I going to tell you? Now, if you do two more months, let's see, next month, July, August, that's only 26 pounds, man. That's only going to be, it'll be close. It'll be about 220-something.
Yeah, you'll be about 10 pounds off.
10, 15 pounds off, yeah. So it'll take another month, whatever. But I'm happy to report that that I'm back on schedule, man, you know.
You shouldn't eat anymore.
Well, and then the other thing that happened last week, we took the night off and went to Allison Reynolds' birthday party. And she didn't have birthday cake, but they had birthday cupcakes, and I avoided them all night long. I didn't have any. And I finally, after midnight, I just couldn't take it any longer, and I had a cupcake. I figured, what the hell, man? It's somebody's birthday party. I had a cupcake. And so I started getting that. This is what I was saying about anorexia, you know.
Well, you think you put on all this weight?
I did. It's like you can get into that mindset a little bit. You can go, oh, my God, I just ate a cupcake. I put on 10. You start to think you're like, you can say I'm fatter somehow, you know.
On account of one cupcake? Man, you got to be nuts.
Yeah, you got to be nuts. You're absolutely right. You got to be nuts. You really got to have something. You know, it's a devastating disease. Devastating disease. Which is a very interesting thing. And this is a statistic that I got. It doesn't tie in, but the percentage of people in the population with anorexia is somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 3% of the population of the world. Is it the world or is it of America? I think it's the world. The population of the world, somewhere with anorexia, somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 3%. And we're fixated on that. And we have magazine articles about it. And we take our kids to the doctor at the mere slightest sign of it. And we worry about our wives or our husbands if we think they have it. And we are obsessed with anorexia. There's never a month goes by in some bloody magazine somewhere, health, women's magazine, something about, oh, well, now what's that? Anorexia, okay? That's 2 to 3%. Now listen. 3 to 4% of the population, a higher percentage of the population, 3 to 4% is psychopathic. That means they are without conscience. They operate in the world with only one interest, and that is their own self-interest. They have no ability to feel for other people. They have no ability to be concerned. They have no conscience, per se. They are just out for their own self-interest. Aggrandizement, their self-worth, they are out for themselves. All right? It's a scary mind condition. I don't even call it a disease. It's an abnormal mind condition called psychopathy. 3 to 4% more people than people that have anorexia, and yet where do you see the articles about that? Nowhere. Nowhere. You want to know why?
No, nobody knows about it.
No, I don't think that's it. I think we're scared to death of it. I don't think we know how to talk about it. And you know, and there's nothing to be really afraid of. It's being aware of it. You just got to be aware. We talk about what happened on Wall Street and why did all of the banks go under and why were certain business decisions made. A lot of it, not you know, I'm not saying 99,000,000% of it, but all you need is one freaking psychopathic business person or Wall Street trader or one person who doesn't have any far-ranging consciousness about anything other than what he is going to immediately enrich him or herself. All you need is one of those people, man, in the chain of business deals and decisions to start a catastrophic domino effect that causes a bank to go under. So we know that 3 to 4% more people than have anorexia have this kind of abnormal mindset, and we know that they can wreak havoc in a business world. And I'm not talking about people that are murderous psychopaths. We're not talking about sadistic psychopaths. We're talking about dishonest people who don't care, man. And you can sit them down and say, now, Charlie, you know what you did, right? Yes, you stole that money. I did. Okay. You know, it hurts a lot of people. Yeah. He'll tell you anything you want to hear. Yes, yeah. You know that hurt a lot of people. Yeah, I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that now. I didn't know it when I did it. That's a lie. He just didn't give us sweet you-know-what. And you know that we can't have you doing that anymore. Yeah, I understand that completely. Right. So I'm going to have to fire you. All right, now when you say that, the guy's like, whatever. So his bullcrap didn't work. He's going out the door, and he's thinking, you're just a chump and a sucker, and you fired him, and now he's going to go out, and he's going to make it up to himself. He just lost his job. He's going to get into another situation, and he's really going to rock and roll this time. That sucker just fired me. How dare he fire me? He doesn't get it, man, that what he just did is drove that bank right into the toilet. All he knows is that guy fired him. There's a million other guys. And here's what makes a psychopath. He thinks that everybody else is doing exactly what he's doing. He just has the honesty to be aware of it.
Oh, he thinks everybody else is psycho.
He doesn't see himself as a psychopath. He thinks that's the way the world is, but everybody else is lying about it. So when he gets fired and he leaves that building, he says, how dare that guy fire me? That sucker knows he's doing the same thing I'm doing. It's nuts. Not all people come around, man. It's like we were saying on the pre-show one time. Some doctors think that it's a regressive kind of gene, that it's a regressive DNA that at one time was needed by the human race. We needed this ability to not have emotion about things. We needed to be cold-hearted because maybe it was a tougher time. Maybe it was a time when you had to take lives and you had to do a lot of things that we just wouldn't do now. And it's sort of this regressive thing that pops up periodically in generations, like blue eyes, bald head, I don't know, not as common.
So what if you had blue eyes and a bald head and you was a psychopathica, you know?
Psychopathica. Psychopathy. I can't even pronounce it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. I got to take a break because I was just told to break regardless because my engineer is a psychopath. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. No, he isn't. He's looking out for the betterment of all mankind.
Truth yeah, whatever. Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Psychopathy.
What?
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
So I just a little note for anybody listening in the Los Angeles area, or if you're going to be in the LA area on July the 22nd, I'm very pleased to say that I'll be on stage with the fine people at ASCAT. That's the ASCAT improv group that works out of the Upright Citizens Brigade's LA theater. And that's on Franklin. And on the 22nd, I'll be on stage with the ASCAT improvising actors. And really what it is just monologuing. You tell four stories, and the actors then improv scenes off of the stories that are told. So I'll sort of like be...
You'll be the storyteller.
I'll be the storyteller, exactly. And that will be on the 22nd of July. And I went out last night, and I saw them, and they're terribly talented and funny as hell. And I was the oldest guy in the crowd. I couldn't believe this, man. I mean, just nobody in that audience was anywhere near my age, man.
Now, what were they?
Everybody was in their 20s. Maybe the oldest was maybe late 30s, early 40s. But I remember thinking it was odd because one of the contestants, there's a part of the show where they bring two contestants up on the stage. And one of the contestants was a young lady, and she identified people in the audience because one of the things they had to do was to pick out people in the audience that they thought would have a certain answer. And she would say things like, the Asian guy, you know.
Talk about what? Talk about an Asian guy. It's one guy.
Yeah, but she'd say the Asian guy. And then when she looked at me, she said, I don't think I'm not going to call on the old guy because I'm sure he knows the definition of the word. At one point, they were looking for the definition of a word. So there was the Asian guy, and then I was the old guy. Now, if you looked at this young lady, and she were in the audience, let's say I was on stage, there's no way that I'm going to point at her and say, let's go to the fat girl.
Are you kidding me, man?
She was. You know, but there's no way I would ever say that.
Would you say that as an Asian guy?
Yeah, I probably would. I don't know. I mean, let's just say that mindset. I have to be honest with you. I try to avoid that in real life. I try not to stereotype people in real life. Like when I'm out on the air, of course, I do it all the time, you know, for whatever effect. If it's funny, great. I don't care. Just to get some kind of a reaction out of the audience, I could give a damn.
Even if they commit suicide as a result.
Even if, yes. So anyway, but I would never do that. But here she was, I think the Asian guy, I want to talk about that Asian guy. And then there was kind of a swarthy Middle Eastern looking dude at one point. And I think she said something like, yeah, the Iranian looking guy. And then Phil, you know, I had my hand up because they asked, how many of you have blah, blah, blah? So you'd either raise your hand or put your hand down. And I had my hand up. And this was for the definition of a word. And she says, I'm not going to ask the old guy. I'm not going to ask the Asian guy. And I'm staring right at her, and she's the fat girl, you know.
Yeah, well, you can't say fat girl.
I know you can't say fat girl. And I wouldn't say fat girl. But I thought to myself, why can't I? You know?
What are you talking about? You'd be a pig.
Maybe, but let's just hold on for a minute.
Asian guy, it's okay. Old guy, it's okay. Because those are adequate descriptions, right?
Yeah, that's what they is. Or, I mean, excuse me, that's what they are.
That's what they is. Or that's what they are. All right. So isn't she fat?
Well, I mean, you can't say it, though.
Why not?
Because it's sexism.
No, it ain't sexism, dude. Why can't I? If she says there's an Asian guy there, which she did say, she says there's the old guy there, which she did say, why wouldn't we be able to turn around and say, oh, let's go to the fat girl?
Because you can't.
Well, the correct answer is you should, by all logic, and even in terms of the level of taste being used, you should be able to do that. I should have been able to say, oh, the fat girl, the old guy, the Asian guy, the black guy, the skinny guy, the guy with the small penis.
How do you know that?
I'm kidding. But you can't. So there you go. So I'm just saying that I held my tongue because I'm a gentleman. Otherwise, if she would have said, the old guy, yes, fat girl. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And, of course, we're available online at philhendryshow.com. Why did I just cut the audio on our feed? I don't know. I'm stupid. But it's back on. And don't forget to go to our website, philhendryshow.com. That's where you can get yourself a backstage pass and enjoy live streaming video of our show, as well as all of those marvelous archives, as well as all of the video archives, as all of all just the marvelousness of it all. Until tonight, let there be a lesson.
Phil Hendry.